Hello and welcome to HD Movie Talk. I am your host, Dean Beans, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, the guy who doesn't know what a fruit is, Harlan Duffy, aka Fluffy Duffy. Hello.
Okay, to everybody listening, that intro made a little sense. And that's because for like 5 minutes prior to our recording, we reignited our disagreement on what the correct version of Fanta is.
Yeah, but we're not getting.
And I think I have a pretty strong argument.
Can we move on? Because I'm worried that I don't want to start this podcast off in a place where we're adversaries. Because I think this week more than any week we need to walk into this as brothers, as teammates.
Yeah. Know? All right. Let's just. I'm really concerned. Like when watching this, I'm sorry. I'm getting way ahead of myself.
Okay. This week, I'll start a few weeks back. At the start of the year, we did a 2023 movie quiz, and I said, whoever the winner is, gets to choose what movie we talk about in the next Silver Lining. Josiah Koops won, and he chose movie 43, which is what we are talking about today. Now, the thing is, part of me is like, that's so cruel of him to choose movie 43. But when you think about his reasoning, I think he's 100% 100% justified in choosing this film. Do you remember his reasoning?
No.
It was the fact that he had to watch this film for the 52-week film challenge for Bad Film Week, and then no one else did the 52-week film challenge.
Sorry, Josiah. We appreciate you, if you're listening.
Yeah. He commented on my Letterboxd review for movie 43 today.
What did he say? Oh, yeah. I didn't letterbox it. I should do that.
He said something like, "Oh, this rating seems too generous," and I gave it half a star.
Okay, so I just want to get what the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a series of sketches within it, like an all-star cast. Like, how do these people get cast in this movie?
Yeah, tell us the story.
And it's intertwined, and it's all connected by this guy who goes to pitch a movie and he holds the producer hostage until the movie's made.
I knew this was going to happen.
What?
We've seen different versions of this film. That's exciting because I knew there were two versions.
What?
Yeah.
I knew there was two. I forgot about that though. Okay, yeah. What movie did you see?
So, the premise of this sketch, it makes so much little sense, and I was planning on getting you to describe this part of the film because I can't even put it into words. It's like these three guys looking on the dark internet for a film called Movie 43, and I'll go into more detail about that later. But that's the rough outline.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's so interesting. But this movie is very strange because you saw the Hugh Jackman testicle skit, right?
Yeah.
That's the first sketch in the movie. And that sketch was filmed 5 years prior to any of the other sketches. Do you know about this, Dean?
Yes.
Because it's Hugh Jackman and Kate Winslet, which are two, A-tier actors, and they used that one sketch and like toured it around Hollywood to just get as many big stars in this awful movie as possible. How they got Hugh Jackman and Kate Winslet, I don't know. But they did. And now this movie exists. But a year ago, I made a video about like the production history of this movie.
That's where I knew this information from.
And to this day, I still get people commenting, being like, no, this is one of the funniest movies ever made.
We get that about Holmes and Watson every now and then as well.
Yeah, but I was really worried because, at one point in history,
mm-hmm.
I felt towards this film, yeah. I felt similar to Cat in the Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were like, no, this is a good movie. And I didn't trust you for a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
But now I love Cat in the Hat. So I was worried that we were going to click record and you're going to be like, hear me out. I think this is a good movie.
That's funny you say that.
And I'm very glad you feel differently.
Do you think here's a very important question for you. If you and I went to a cinema together at 10 a.m. and watched this film sitting next to each other, do you think we would enjoy ourselves?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if I would.
Could you imagine seeing this at 10 in the morning? It would be hilarious. We'd want it like we well. I don't know if you would enjoy ourselves, but it would be a moment to remember.
It would, if like we were in the same place and we looked at the closest cinema and they were showing this at 10 a.m., I would not hesitate for a second to buy tickets.
Right.
I'd be like, I'm going, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think I would enjoy it. I teased you a little bit with this earlier on. Before we talk about the film, can I tell you my story about getting my hands on this film?
Please.
So I sent Harlan this morning.
I woke up to the text message, yeah, and it was fantastic.
I promise you that my journey to get a copy of this godforsaken film is more interesting and adheres more closely to the three-act structure than the film itself. Okay, where to start? So I woke up this morning and I was like, the first thing in my brain was, I need to watch movie 43 today. It was like a cloud over me because I knew we were going to be filming this podcast. And mm-hmm. It wasn't on any streaming services, and it was like £3.50 to rent on Amazon. And I was like, I don't want to do that. So I look online at all the stock of my places in the city I live in that sell DVDs, and none of them had it in stock. And while I was looking, I saw that a shop just outside, like not quite a bit outside the city centre, of the city I live in, had one of these DVDs in stock for 50p. And I was like, I've got to go and get that. Like, I don't know what it was, but I was like, the idea of spending more money on this film just makes me want to get it less. 50 pence, that's fine. I can get a bus there. The bus is every hour and it takes half an hour. It takes like 25 minutes to get there. So I go to the bus stop and I've missed the bus. So I think about it. I'm like, I could go home and I could go and rent it. And then I was like, no, it's quite a nice day out. So I walked to this place instead. Took me over an hour to get there. Get there, go and just thought the DVD is not there.
Oh, no.
And now I start to panic. I'm like, oh, dear, this has been a complete waste of time. I look around. Luckily, I don't know if this is lucky or not, I find it on Blu-ray.
Okay.
So I get it on Blu-ray for £1 instead of 50p. So I now own it on Blu-ray. I look at the time.
Congratulations.
I have to wait half an hour for another bus. So instead, I just decide to walk home again. And that's how I've managed to walk 7 miles today.
From movie 43.
Just for this film.
I'm so sorry.
I feel like I went through more effort to get this film than whoever made this film went into making it.
Probably. But so when you're going in that spiel, I was listening and also looking up why there are two different versions of this movie.
Yes.
Okay, and aside from your being the international release and my being the US release,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't find anything. Do you know this story?
No.
Okay.
So we were going to go through this sketch by sketch, but before we go sketch by sketch, we should probably go the overarching plot that ties it all together. Do you want to go first or should I?
I'll go first because mine's pretty simple.
Okay, mine is not. I don't know where to start. Go on.
Okay. So mine starts off as Dennis Quaid, who's Jack Quaid's dad. he comes in to have a meeting with a producer to make a movie. And Dennis Quaid, he has an assistant with him, and he's like, this is a really heartfelt movie like The Help.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into the first testicle sketch. And essentially, it comes down to, this isn't a screenwriter. This is a psychopath that is holding this producer hostage. And he has, the guy gets other people to suck each other's wieners. And then they go into shooting. Like people start shooting each other. Common's there. Seth MacFarlane's there. Like, it's insane. And then it turns out that the screenwriter holding the producer hostage is actually a sketch in and of itself. And it breaks the fourth wall And then they're like, you know what? We only have one final sketch. Let's just show that. And that's essentially how the movie ends.
Yeah.
And then after the credits, there's another sketch.
Yes, I had that as well.
And it's not. Okay, sorry. And you now you explain yours.
I haven't. Okay. This is. Bear with me here, because this is quite a complex plot compared to yours. So there's these two teenage boys, yeah. And they film this YouTube video.
Are they British?
No.
Okay.
Very American. And they're like throwing stuff at a dartboard or something. And they make this video that they're like, oh yeah, this is gonna be viral. They upload it to YouTube and they start refreshing it and they're like, what, this thing's getting so many views, and in like 30 seconds it's gotten like a million views.
As it goes.
And like it's nighttime at this point, and then like this like 10-year-old boy's face appears on the screen. And he's like, April Fools, I tricked you. I cloned YouTube and like got them to give you loads of views to give you an April Fools. And they're like, oh, I'm going to get you, blah, blah, blah. And then they hung up the video call and they're like, oh, we need a way to prank this guy back. And then he was like, yeah, why don't we steal his laptop and get loads of viruses on it? And then the other guy's like, oh, how do you find viruses? And then the other guy goes, oh, how do you think I got them? Just by watching porn. So then they invite this kid into their bedroom and they're like, we need a way to distract him while I go and put loads of viruses on this laptop. So they go, oh, can you find us this film on the deep web? And they're like, oh, what film? And then they go through all these details. Oh, this film will make your dick fall off and it will do all this crazy stuff, but it's been banned everywhere. And they're just making this up. And they go, oh, what's the movie called? And they kind of look at each other and they go, movie 43. And he's like, okay, let's start looking. And he starts looking on the web and he starts finding all these different like individual scenes from whatever. And meanwhile, his brother goes and steals his laptop, goes into the bathroom, starts watching porn to get viruses on that, and then he starts pleasuring himself at the same time. Meanwhile, they have got into contact with these like Russian hackers, and like the people are being killed on like live video to them, and like one of their friends in schools gets killed on video to them. It's like, hey, stop looking for movie 43, it's bad, it's going to ruin everything. And they're like, no, it's not. And then then there's a big red button on the screen and they're like, hey, if you press that big red button, you're going to get movie 43, but don't press it because bad things will happen. And then they press the big red button and then the world starts to end because movie 43 is like some Soviet thing to control Americans, but also it causes like everything in the world to explode. And then they get a video, which is movie 43. And movie 43 is a video from the future of this kid a year in the future, and he's leading the resistance. And his brother, who's the one who snuck off with the laptop, has like become a they use a word to describe him. It's something like invalid or cripple or something like that. And he's just like crying the whole time, going, oh, sorry, mummy, in an American accent. And then they come back in the room. They're like, hey, good prank, because none of that's real. And then his mum comes into the room and he's like, hey, time to go to bed. And then he realizes that the woman he'd been watching in the porn and he had just masturbated to was his mum. And that's what causes him to have the mental breakdown. And then everything explodes and the world ends. And then there's a scene of him crawling through the apocalypse and he finds a laptop. He opens the laptop and the laptop is like, hey, do you want everything to return back to normal? And he presses yes. And he goes, are you sure? And he presses yes. And then there's it's pretty good joke, I think, in this film, actually, where it goes, are you sure? And he kind of looks around at the like the nuclear wasteland he's in and then presses yes. And I'm like, that's quite funny. And then it says, are you sure? Sure. And he presses yes again. And then they go, oh, too bad. We can't put things back to normal. Do you want to watch a film instead? And then he presses yes. And then it's the last sketch.
Man. Why did Josiah do this to us?
I want to know what version he watched, because
he
like
probably
I
watched your version.
Yeah,
my true. Version is awfully digest. Like it's you can digest it.
Yeah. Did mine just break your mind?
Yeah, it did. It did. It did. I like the ending. The ending makes more sense.
Yeah.
And honestly, Dennis Quaid, he literally is dressed up like a 20-year-old. It would make more sense if he was just Jack Quaid instead of Dennis Quaid.
Okay.
But, all right, but...
Before we go sketch by sketch, can I give you, like, my two overall thoughts about this film?
Yeah.
Firstly, I've been on the record as saying I don't really like American comedies. And when I say that, obviously I don't mean all American comedies. You know, most comedies are like half the comedies I watch are American and I enjoy them. But this is exactly what I mean. When I'm
This
like,
is
this is like
quote
the
unquote American comedy at
yeah.
its worst.
This is like the refined, you know. It's like American comedy minus the comedy. Do you know what I mean? It's just all the bad things about
So
American
just
comedy.
American.
It's just American. And my second complaint is I think 90% of these sketches have the same one major flaw. And that's like they're an all right premise that lasts for about double the time that they should. You know, almost every single sketch, it got to a point where I'm like, okay, this is going on for too long now.
Yeah, but I think you're even being a little bit gracious saying that it's an all right premise for a sketch.
Yeah, okay. Some of them have all right premises.
I would say there's one good sketch in here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying there's they're all right. I'm just saying some of them have pretty good like
Yeah.
premises that could work well. I'm interested to know what you think the good one is. Okay, should we go through sketch by sketch?
Yes.
So the first one is The Catch. This is the one starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Winslet. And the whole joke is Kate Winslet gets set up on a blind date with this guy who sounds perfect, and he is perfect, apart from the fact he's got a big pair of testicles on his neck.
It's so disturbing.
It
It's like
yeah.
so disturbing.
I don't think this one's like bad.
It's not because also, like, it's Kate Winslet and Hugh Jackman, two very talented
Yeah.
actors. You know what I mean? And like, it, I think the gross out factor is just what does it. It.
See, it's funny you say that because I feel like this sketch grossed me out less than half of the other sketches. Like, to me, this is in the lower half of gross sketches.
I think it's gross enough for me not to laugh at it is the
Yeah,
issue.
that's fair enough.
And they like do a thing where he keeps on like leaning down and dipping his neck testicles in soup and like hairs fall out of it and
Do you know what I actually think the issue with a lot of these sketches are?
what?
This is just one joke. You know, you'd expect the sketch to have this kind of setup and then have a resolution. And I think the reason I'm like, oh, this sketch goes on for too long is because they're just telling the same joke again and again, and they're not really coming to like a resolution. And then there's not like a final punchline or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just the same joke of, oh no, he's done something weird with his neck testicles.
Yeah. It, but to be fair, this is a good s sketch to have right at the beginning because it get you know exactly what you're getting into.
That's
Because
true.
it's the this is the entire movie. All right. Do you want to get into the next sketch?
What's that?
I don't know. I have a list, but mine is ranked.
Yes, so after this is Homeschooled.
Homeschooled.
This has Liev Schreiber, Jeremy Allen White, actually, which who I was surprised to see because I was like, oh, this guy existed before, you know, more recently. And the premise of this sketch is that this couple is homeschooling their kid, but they want him to go through like an authentic high school appearance. They like bully him and they like, you know, make him do stuff, bad stuff in high school, and like his mum gives him his first kiss and stuff like that.
I'm just gonna put this out there right now. This is my favorite sketch in the movie.
I'm thinking about it now, and I don't know. I don't have the list in front of me to go, this is my favorite. I don't like this sketch, but it would be up there. And simply because I just made the complaint that none of them end with a punchline. I think the punchline that this sketch ends with is pretty good.
It because like so the punchline is that through all this harassment, the kid actually turns out to be like super weird because of all the things his parents
Yeah,
put him
the
down
joke is
through.
like he comes downstairs and he acts completely normal, and the couple who are there having this described to them are like surprised. They're like, oh, this is a normal kid. And then he grabs his girlfriend and it's just like a doll. And then he does a voice for the doll.
It's a doll with his mom's face on it.
Yeah. That's the part of the sketch I'm like, ugh. You know, they all have a bit which just make me feel uncomfortable, and that is just the kissing his mum bit.
Yeah, it's that that does push a little bit far, but then when like his dad has the same scene, that was kind of funny. And I think I can, not the incest part, but like being the oldest sibling, my dad said he took it upon himself to treat me at times like an older sibling. Yeah. So like it's kind of, I it's funny. I think this is the only.
It's funny. I agree. It's the best one, but it just goes on for too long.
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
but it just gets like, to the point
when
where
I say this is the best sketch, I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah.
But it's the best one in my opinion.
Okay. Harlan, you can explain the next sketch because I don't want to, and it's the proposition.
The Proposition. Wait, yeah. Which one is that one?
Starring Chris Pratt and Anna Faris, who he did marry.
Yeah, that was his wife at the time.
Oh, were they? Okay.
But now they're divorced.
Yes, they divorced a while ago.
So this thing is that Chris Pratt and Anna Faris are a happy couple. And then right before they're at a picnic and Chris Pratt's about to propose. And right before he does, Anna Faris says, "I want you to poop on me."
Mm-hmm.
And so half the sketch is him getting ready to do this.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I can do this for her. And then he like eats a bunch of burritos, takes a bunch of laxatives, and he's ready to go. And then at the moment he was waiting for, she's like, no, we have to wait a little bit. And then it's him holding his poop. And then he just goes like, can I just shit already? And then that offends her because you can't say shit because that's gross. Just poop.
Mm-hmm.
And then she storms out and then he's like, no, babe, wait. And he waddles over and then he gets hit by a car and just like it goes everywhere.
It's like, I don't even know how to describe how awful it is, but it's awful.
Like, this is a little bit of a spoiler too, but this, like, this is at the bottom. This is my least favorite one.
See, I would disagree. And I don't like it.
This was too much for me.
No, it was 100% too much for me as well. But I think, sorry, I just had to gag a little bit after saying, but I think, so this is a Chris Pratt and Anna Faris are the stars in this. I think JB Smoove is genuinely funny in this. And like, he might have the best single performance in this whole film for me, just because I found his character, like, I just quite funny.
I don't know. I couldn't get over it. I couldn't. Like,
it was the over-exaggerated
with a testicle neck. I could step away from the grossness and look at the humor of it, mm-hmm. kind of. This one I couldn't. I just could not.
Fair enough. I think JB Smoove was funny. Do you know, I think it's funny when he just whips out the laxatives and he's like, and the guy's like, do you always carry them around with you? He's like, yeah.
Okay, let's move on, please. Okay.
That is going at the bottom of our collumative ranking.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Veronica, which stars Kieran Culkin and Emma Stone. Basically, this one is very simple, and I want to say shorter, but maybe that's just because I found it less painful. Of basically, Kieran Culkin works at a grocery store, and Emma Stone is like an ex-girlfriend or like a fling. And she comes up and they start arguing and then they start talking dirty to each other and then they argue again. And the entire time he's on the intercom. Is that what you'd call it?
He's on loudspeaker, intercom. Yeah.
And everyone in the shop can hear. And then she storms out and then the shop is like, hey, you should go chase after her.
So the only good part about this sketch is when it cuts to the old people listening.
Yeah, I think there's one bit I do remember liking about this. And it's when Emma Stone storms out and she goes, "See you at church."
That is pretty funny,
That
actually.
did get a smile out of me.
But like, I was also extremely disturbed by everything else.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I formed like an unhealthy parasocial relationship with Emma Stone because La La Land and Gwen, you know, like, because she's
Yeah.
a really cool person from what we see in interviews. So I don't know if it's that, but just like, it's so disturbing the things they say to each other. It's not funny for me.
I can see that. I just don't, I just like personally, I so at the moment we've got three sketches on our ranking. It's Homeschooled, The Catch, and The Proposition, and I'd probably put it in second place. Because like it's a bad sketch. It's not funny, but it's not as bad as half the others in this film.
So, okay. Well, we only have three, right? Including this
Yes.
one?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, four, including this one.
So, what are they again?
The cat. So, in order, we've got first place is Homeschooled, second place is The Catch, and third place is The Proposition. To be fair, I could see it in second or third place as long as it's not first or
In my
last.
ranking, I have The Catch and the Emma Stone one right next to each other. But for me, I do find the testicle neck one a little bit funnier than the Emma Stone one.
Can I give you my counter-argument?
Sure.
This one's a lot shorter.
All right, that's an excellent kind of argument, actually.
Should we just
Checkmate.
rank them all by runtime? Because
Okay.
this is like walking into like public toilets, opening every cubicle. They've all been like blocked. They've all been flooded, and you just look down each toilet at just the pile of like toilet paper and poo and vomit, and you're like, no, this one smells better than this one. This is what
Yeah.
ranking this is like.
All right. What's
Okay,
next?
next we've got the eye babe.
Okay, but this isn't the full sketch.
Should we just talk about that full sketch as
No,
one?
I don't think we should, because I have them separate lists separately.
Okay,
This
so
one I have.
it is listed as one director and writer though in like the credits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you think? Because I think, so like this one, the Eye Babe, it's just like a commercial spot,
Yes.
essentially.
Yes.
And I don't find it funny at all.
No.
There's like nothing funny about it.
No.
It's just, though, the Eye Babe is it's just an MP3 player, but instead of an MP3 player, it's a woman.
A naked
A
woman.
naked woman.
Yeah, that's the important part.
Yeah.
There's so many naked women
There are a lot.
in the film. And like, I don't want to sound like a prude who's like, oh, I don't like, nudity in film, but none of it made me feel comfortable in this.
No, because you
Like,
like,
all of it made me squirm.
but I feel like this one made me squirm the most
Because it was
because
the most nudity.
it was, yeah, it was the most nudity, and there's no, they don't even try to like say a scale, like it opens up on just a pair of a woman's boobs.
Yeah.
So I think this, for me, this one is below the Emma Stone
Yeah.
one.
Yeah. Should we put it? We'll put it in fourth place between. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll call it I Babe One. Okay. Okay. I'm already just. I've had enough. Next we have Superhero Speed Dating. This one has a pretty stacked cast. You've got Jason Sudeikis, Bobby Cannavale, Uma Thurman, and Kristen Bell, amongst others. Do you want to just run us through what I want to say plot, but I won't give
I'm gonna
the.
do my darn hardest.
Okay.
So the idea is Robin is on a speed dating event, and then as he's doing it, Batman comes in and just starts ruining everything. And Batman's there because there was a bomb threat. And then super, and then and then no, then Lois Lane comes in, who's played by Uma Thurman, and then like Batman's like, oh hey, look, that's Lois Lane, and he calls Superman's like, hey, Robin's on a date with Lois Lane, and Superman comes in and like wipes his semen on Robin. It's so gross. And then Robin comes out again, and Supergirl comes out, and then Batman's under the desk looking under her skirt. And then it turns out the Penguin places a bomb. And then Robin saves the day, defeats Penguin, kisses Supergirl, but then Supergirl's actually a dude.
The Riddler.
The Riddler. And is that how it ends? How does it end?
Yeah, it ends with him with Batman saying a line which wasn't bad, and he's like, "Why'd you let me kiss him?" He's like, "I just woke up and wanted to." I can't remember what the line was.
No, that I that was good too, and I have this one ranked higher, technically.
Yeah, what I mean, you could say this about, you know, the whole thing, but this has like pretty solid cast, this one.
Solid cast.
All
There's
those characters,
superheroes,
yeah.
so that's fun. It
Can you
this
believe
one.
that Batman and Robin isn't the worst Batman film Uma Thurman is in?
That's funny.
Yeah.
But I think this, considering this one already uses previously established IP, it doesn't need much of a story. It can get
That's
away with that. And because of that, I think some of the lazy jokes, when any other circumstance would be considered more lazy, it comes off a little bit,
Yeah.
not as obnoxious here. It's still definitely obnoxious, but just because of that, it has an opportunity to be better. How do you feel about this
I
one?
can see that. Should we put it in second place?
Yeah.
So far. Okay. Next up is another little advert, and that is Machine Kids.
So, although this kind of, I'm a little contradictory here, I think we should just count this as one because it makes other appearances, but
Yes.
it doesn't ever get like more of a full sketch. Oh, I'm sorry. Just give me one moment here. I hope you understand.
Harlan just had to stop to do his B reel.
It is what it is. Sorry, guys.
My phone is currently being used as a camera, but I have already had B reel today, actually. So we have B reels at different times. Yeah. What would you think about Machine Kids?
I like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. As somebody who like purposely rages out on inanimate objects frequently.
And people, you just.
No, only objects, because people can get mad at you. Objects can't.
Yeah. Yet.
Yet. I thought it was funny. It was harmless. Like there was, I mean, well, but like there wasn't anything too absurd.
No. It works.
It.
In like a better sketch show, you'd be like, yeah,
Yeah,
this is legit.
exactly. If this like could work as like an SNL sketch, where you're like, okay, that's what's on. What's
I
next?
and that's the thing. I think it would work, like, ironically, for this sketch compared to the rest of them. I feel like this would work if you had like a big star in it and like a big personality.
Yeah.
I think it would make it more fun. Are we ranking it?
I think we can rank it second, personally.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Okay. Oh, I really don't like the next one. I don't want to. Okay. The next one was directed by Elizabeth Banks, because all these sketches are mostly directed by different people. And this is Middle School Date. Do you want to explain it, please, Harlan? While I put my hood back up and wallow.
So these two middle schoolers are at a kid's house, and then it starts out pretty innocent. They start kissing, and they're like, ha ha. And then like the girl takes a picture while they're kissing, because like insinuate that she's gonna make fun of him. Then the girl stands up to go to the bathroom. She gets her first period. It's really hard to say it out loud. And then when she goes to get
You
to
sound
go
like
to the
you're trying to break
bathroom,
the news that like a family member has died to someone. That's really
when she goes to the bathroom, the kid notices a stain on the couch and he starts touching it and licking it. And what does he say? Like, oh, you spilled like jam or
He's like,
something?
oh, you spilled fruit punch.
Yeah, and then
Like my brother spilled fruit punch.
the girl comes out of the bathroom. She's like, I have to go home. And he's like, why? She's like, I don't know. And she starts like moving up against the wall. And then like she leaves like a snail trail.
Well, don't say that.
On the wall.
Yeah.
And like while all this is happening, McLovin's in there just like panicking, trying to find a way to help her. And then like the dad comes in, who's played by Kronk.
Yeah.
And he's like, ew. Like, what? That's gross.
Yeah.
And the dad, and then her dad. It's so bad, guys. This is a bad one.
I could talk about this for so long. Like, there's so much going on in this sketch. And like, not in a good way at all, but there's like so many layers to it. So firstly, the girl is Chloe Grace Moretz. And I did the maths. When this film came out, she was 16 years old. So I don't know how old she is in this actual sketch. And something about her being that young. And I know she has to be, because the whole sketch is set around someone
I don't
getting
think so.
well, you know what I mean? Like, if
Yeah,
you're
I know what you mean,
doing
but
a
like, I
sketch
don't
about
think
someone
so.
getting there, you know, just quit writing. And just the fact that she's 16 makes this so much more uncomfortable.
So, on my list, when I watch this movie, I don't have it as low as I now think it should be after verbalizing what the sketch was about.
Yeah.
I think this is a contender for, if not the bottom, second to the bottom.
I think definitely bottom two. Just to verbalize my thoughts on this a bit more. Like, there's a bit in the sketch where I think whoever was writing it, or like, I watched this sketch and I was like, there is no way a single woman was involved in making, or, but then I looked and I was like, okay, Elizabeth Banks did direct it. And there is a bit where she stands up for herself and she's like, oh, I've just had my first period and it's actually really awful that I've had to have my first period in front of you idiots. And like that line and that moment is trying to be like, oh, I know we're laughing at periods, but you know, they're actually natural and normal, and you know, but then it doesn't change anything that's happened in the sketch up to that point.
No, and it doesn't even like she says that and it just goes right back to it. It
Yeah.
is, it surprised me it was directed by Elizabeth Banks, because at no point did it go that I think like, oh, this is directed by a woman.
The one bit, there is one bit of this I do find a little bit funny.
What's that?
And it's every time someone mentions a period, Patrick Warburton just goes, oh, gross. And I think it's just his natural charisma that made that work for me. Because I guess it's weird, because at some point in the sketch, you're like, we're supposed to be laughing at this girl getting a period.
Yeah.
Then at other points of the sketch, we're like, we're laughing at these guys that don't know how to deal with period. And one of them is like pulling stuff out the kitchen drawer. And one of them is like, what is a period? And then the dad is like, oh, this is disgusting. And we're supposed to be laughing at how stupid they are. But also we're supposed to be laughing at, you know, it just.
Nobody's laughing.
Nobody's laughing. I think this is worse. I think this is the worst.
I think this one's more offensive.
Yeah, there's no JB Smoove.
There's no JB Smoove.
The next one is Tampax. It's a very brief advert of a woman in a bikini, and then she goes for a.
I feel like that's a part of the sketch.
It is listed separately in the.
Can we?
We can count it as that.
I think it counts as the same one. I did, personally.
Okay. Next, we have Happy Birthday, which is directed by Brett Ratner. So if you need a reason to like this film any less, just know that
Wait, which one's Happy Birthday?
Gerard Butler.
Leprechaun. Oh, the Leprechaun one.
Yes. So it's directed by Brett Ratner, who's an awful man who directed some of the X-Men films. And it stars Johnny Knoxville. And so he slept with his roommate's girlfriend and he's annoyed with him, but he's like, hey, I got you a present to make up for it. And they've kidnapped a leprechaun, and the leprechaun the entire time is giving them these really graphic details because he's like tied to a chair. And then another leprechaun shows up with a pot of gold, and then they kill both leprechauns, keep the pot of gold, and then the other present is a fairy, and the fairy says, oh, I suck dick for gold coins. And they're like, hey, we just got gold coins.
I have this one ranked higher.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
When referring to when the leprechaun is there, it isn't an Irish person.
You sound so pained.
Because like there are more offensive sketches than this.
Yeah. The thing I like about this sketch is that, like I said, both leprechauns, because there were two, both played by Gerard Butler, go into such graphic detail with their insults.
Yeah.
And what I like is that Johnny Knoxville and whoever the other guy in the sketch is, this is the first sketch with like a level of self-awareness, because they make jokes about, wow, these guys really are obsessed with balls. And like,
yeah,
I think that level of self-awareness works because you're kind of making fun of the bad sketch.
Can I make an argument?
Yes.
I think the reason this sketch works, at least for me, more than any other sketch,
mm-hmm.
is because the type of humor... The other actor, not Johnny Knoxville, the other actor, I know things he's been in, but I wouldn't be able to know his name. But both that actor and Johnny Knoxville have made... Their celebrity personality is based off of graphic humor.
Yeah, I get that.
And so that's why, like... This one, I was like, the more absurd bits didn't irritate me as much. Just because, like, when I see Johnny Knoxville's face, I expect wieners and blood and, language and offensive humor. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it fits them more. It comes naturally to them. Like, I think it's less to do with you being used to it, but more to do with them being better at delivering it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they did edit out the best joke in this sketch.
Which is in the end credits?
It's in the credits.
Yes.
The fairy goes, I suck dick for gold coin. And then Johnny Knoxville goes, so do I.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
That is a good joke.
But the whole bit with them fighting the leprechaun, I kind of just stopped watching for like 45 seconds until the fight was over with that. Because he shot one of them in the face. And then where did he shoot the other one?
In both nipples.
In both nipples. So one of them got shot in the heart and one of them got shot in the face. And they're both
they're fine. Hot.
And he goes, oh, you shot me in the eye. And I'm like, that's not a thing. That's called shooting you in the brain. Your eye doesn't stop a bullet. I know, like, I should be, like, nitpicking these dumb sketches. But that bit, I was like, okay.
So where do you think this lands?
I think like third place.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Actually, yeah.
Okay, next we have the second half of I, Babe. Go on, explain it.
Okay, so the second half of the I, Babe
mm-hmm.
is like the boardroom meeting of it. Yeah. And it turns out the company making it is getting a lot of legal trouble. Because teenage boys buying this iBabe, which is a woman as an MP3 player.
Yeah.
Or an MP3 player as a woman. The teenage children are trying to have sex with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is the exhaust fan that goes really fast is installed where children would go to partake in such activities.
Yeah, I really like your censoring this episode because it's really difficult to do.
And so a bunch losing their bits.
What's the exact thing that is said multiple times in this sketch?
I don't remember.
It's they're getting their dicks mangled. And that, I didn't like that. But
nope, not good. But I think what I think this sketch works is that the CEO is like, no, but it's an MP3 player.
I think this sketch works because I only just thought about this. Unlike a lot of the others, this sketch has like the straight man, or in this case, the woman, who exists in the real world. And it's like, no, you're all stupid. Because the whole point is, the whole boardroom is like, wow, how do we stop them from having sex with this thing? That's so weird. That, why are they doing that? And she's like, I told you this was going to happen. This is obviously going to happen. And the guy and the CEO is like, I just don't get why they're doing it. Like, what are they doing? Like, you're going to have to spell it out to me. And I'm like, that's funny to an extent.
To an extent. And then the end joke is they bring out another eye babe, but instead of a white woman, it's a black woman.
Yeah. That's real progressive humor for 2013.
Which, like, is war. Like, that's bad. Like, that's not good.
No.
So I don't think this, I think this one is better than the initial iBabe sketch.
Yeah.
I think there are some funny bits and there's some actual comedy in it.
Yeah.
But it is not good.
Like, if this one got like a second or third draft, it could be a good sketch.
Yeah.
And I think that's only true for like a couple of these so far.
I will say this one I did have ranked higher, but as I talked it out and kind of...
I think I would put this above Superhero Speed Dating.
Yeah, I would too.
In that spot. Okay, cool. Next we have Truth or Dare. This stars Halle Berry and Stephen Merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on a date. And Halle Berry's like, hey, I'm so bored of just going on so many dates. Do you want to play Truth or Dare? And Stephen Merchant is like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll play Truth or Dare. That's my best Stephen Merchant impression.
That wasn't that bad.
I can't really do the Bristolian accent, which is where he is from. But he doesn't have a Bristolian accent really either. I don't even know. You won't know anyone with a Bristolian accent. Will lives in Bristol. He doesn't have the accent. Anyway. And then they go on do a bunch of outrageous dares.
Yeah. And I like Stephen Merchant.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how well you know him. Like, what else?
I know his name. And because he's really good friends with Ricky Gervais.
So he's a co-creator of The Office. All Ricky, like back in the day, not so much anymore, but back in this era of like The Office and all those kind of things Ricky Gervais is doing. If Ricky Gervais was the star, you can almost guarantee like Stephen Merchant was the writer. And like Ricky Gervais wrote as well. But it's kind of like Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. Where like,
help me out here.
Yeah.
Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
They have a third friend. Friend had a show. Like he went around the world.
Idiot Abroad.
Me and my dad watched a lot of that show. So I think that's primarily where I know Stephen Merchant from.
Because Carl Pilkington is amazing. But yeah, like this guy co-created The Office. He's written some he's written some stuff in Extras, which is very, very funny. I haven't seen a lot of Extras. I just see a lot of clips of it online because they have like every famous British actor ever in it. Like there's a very good sketch of like Ian McKellen. It's a good sketch of Ian McKellen playing Ian McKellen and giving Ricky Gervais acting advice. And he's like,
yes.
How do I so act? Good. I pretend I am the man in the script. He's like, Peter Jackson, ring me, but I want you to play a wizard. And he goes, I am not a wizard. Have you seen any of the clips of like Warwick Davis with Ricky Gervais?
I don't know.
Johnny Depp has a good one in Extras. Anyway, Stephen,
yes, I talk
about
good one.
Comedy for a minute. What do you think about Truth or Dare?
Fun concept.
Mm-hmm.
Very racist by the end, though.
Yeah.
Like, so the entire idea is like by the end, they dare each other to get a bunch of prosthetic surgery.
Yeah.
And Halle Berry gets Steven Merchant to get plastic surgery to look like an Asian man.
Yeah.
And it's offensive. It just is.
Do you know what my thought on this sketch is?
What?
There's no jokes.
There
Yeah.
really aren't.
Like there's like they had an idea for a funny concept. And
You
then
know what though? When
what?
Halle Berry blows out the blind kid's candles,
That's funny.
that I mean that's awful, but that was silly.
That works. In a better sketch, that's very funny. You
Yeah.
know, you can get away with you can get away with dark comedy if it's funny. You know? And I'm gonna
Okay.
I could talk about this for ages because as speak about idiots like Ricky Gervais who are like, oh, you can't joke about anything anymore. No, you can if it's funny, mate. Just okay,
Ricky
anyway.
Gerv when he Ricky Gervais gets on his little soapbox and talks about it, I get so irritated, but that's besides the point.
He's the worst. He's not the worst, but he's up there. Okay.
Did he crucify himself?
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais?
Yes.
Yikes. All right, anyways.
Okay. Like there's no jokes. None of the dads are particularly funny because they're all over like crude, apart from the blind one. They're like crude in the sense like I dare you to make guacamole with your left boob or whatever he says.
Yeah. I think I honestly think like it if you take away the Asian the yellow face thing,
Yeah.
which is what that is, and it's just what it is, it would be middle, but I think just because of that it should go down.
Yeah, I think like in between the first I Babe and the Catch.
Sure.
The next sketch is called Victory's Glory. Do you want to describe that to me?
This is the one with Terrence Howard, right?
Yes.
So the entire idea is it's goes back in time
Yeah.
to the it's the first all black basketball team to go up against a white school. And the whole team is like, I don't know, I'm so nervous about this. What if we lose? And Terrence Howard, who plays the coach, it's like, guys, you're not going to lose. And it's, that's the whole bit.
Yeah.
And at the end, the white team scores 1 point against the black team. And I think there is one time where there's 1 point where the white team comes in and they just start saying the N-word,
Yeah.
which I don't think is great.
And like, I don't get where the
But
joke is there. I was watching it and I was like, what part of this is supposed to be funny? We're supposed to be laughing at because white people are saying the N-word and being racist
I
or.
wouldn't be surprised if all those white people were actually just the writers
This
and they just wanted an excuse to say the
was
N-word.
the other one where it was like no black person was involved. Like, okay. This sketch has a good eye, like a good concept. Like I think there is like a good sketch here somewhere of being like of like you could do it of like all these white people like being like, oh, these guys don't stand a chance because basketball is a white people's game and blah blah blah. Like I don't think it's an amazing sketch, but I think there is a passable sketch somewhere in here.
I think it's fine.
Yeah. Like I think I'm not, like the sketch itself, it's not awful. It's not, you know, one of the disgusting ones. But like I feel like it, this is one of the ones with a couple more drafts could be good.
I say this one, personally for me, I have this one above the I Babe.
Yes, so do you want to say in between Happy Birthday and I, babe? I'm happy with that.
Sure.
I'd maybe go above Happy Birthday. I don't know. All those kids do say the N-word, so I'll put it below.
Yeah.
Okay. We're down to the last sketch, Harlan. This one, directed by James Gunn.
Was it really?
Yeah, that blew my mind.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I guess like 2013, he was yeah, like that was before Guardians of the Galaxy. He didn't have anything else to do.
It's true.
Like he had, you know, he hadn't made it big at all. He's like, I'm sure he's the one guy who wasn't like a big director before this came out that this didn't ruin their career. And it's Josh Duhamel and then Elizabeth Banks is back. Do you want to describe this one to us, please?
So, Elizabeth Banks and Josh Duhamel, is that his name?
Yes.
They're in a relationship, but Josh Duhamel has this cat named Beazle.
Mm-hmm.
And Beazle is animated in a similar way of, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And Beazle is jealous of Elizabeth Banks. Not because of, you know, she's like, well, this is my person. It's because Beazle is very much sexually attracted to Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
And we have to see the cat pleasuring himself to pictures of Josh Duhamel.
While having, like, explicit thought bubbles.
Yeah. And I'm a cat person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not shy about that. And coming from that point of view, this was very disturbing. I wasn't a fan of this one.
Yeah. You get to see cat balls a lot. Yeah. And then, like, the cat pees all over her.
Oh, that was so gross.
Yeah. I think this one has a couple good jokes. And the first one, I don't know what order they come in. The first one is when Elizabeth Banks is, like, trying to describe to Josh Duhamel what the cat was doing.
What is she? And I don't remember what she says.
But it's when Josh Duhamel goes, cats can't even perceive images in that way. And I'm like, that's a good joke. And then she's like, and then she continues it. It's like, that's not a normal cat. And he's like, what do you mean? It's just like any normal cat. And she's like, he just put a thermometer in his mouth. I'm like, that's a funny joke. Because that's meta, you know?
Yeah.
But the rest of it, it's not all, this isn't an awful.
The animation for Beazle is interesting.
Yeah, James Gunn always nails that.
Jesus.
Now I've seen this film, like, obviously it won't happen. If I ever get a chance to interview James Gunn, I would ask him about this.
Oh, you'd have to. Then he'd kill you.
I feel like I've seen enough of James Gunn stuff that I feel like he would answer it good naturedly. I would be like, I'm really curious. Can you just tell me how you got involved with movie 43? And that's all I would say.
Where do you think this should go?
I think this is a middling one. But mm-hmm. just below the cat. No, where do you think? So I'm looking at, like, Truth or Dare, The Catch, Veronica, like this kind of ballpark.
I think below Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I think below Veronica.
Which one's Veronica again?
Emma Stone.
Below Emma Stone? I think this one is better than the Emma Stone one.
Okay. I don't hate that, so I will put it there. To be fair to James Gunn, final thought on this. I like, he was 100% just doing this for a paycheck. Like, I imagine he was in that stage of his life. He just did Slither. Like, you know, he wasn't bringing in the big bucks. And I respect that.
You get these big names too. Yeah, it makes sense. But
if like an actor does an absolutely awful thing and they're like, oh no, I just needed the money. I'm like, yeah, good on you. You know, this is your job.
Yeah.
But then, like, what's all the actor's excuses, you know?
I have a proposition for you.
Don't say that. Don't bring up the proposition.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Should I quickly go through the ranking before we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I go best to worst or worst to best?
Best to worst.
Okay. First place, we have Homeschooled. Then we have Machine Kids. Then Happy Birthday. Then Victory's Glory. And then the second Eye Babe sketch. Then Superhero Speed Dating. Then Beazle, Veronica, The Catch, Truth or Dare, The First Eye Babe. And then we have The Proposition. And then we have Middle School Date.
Yeah. Do you want to see what mine was?
Yes, go on.
So, number one, I don't have the actual full names. I just have, like, one so I would remember.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is Kevin Homeschool.
Yeah.
Number two is Machine Children.
Yeah.
Number three was Basketball.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Number four was iBabe Full Sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Number six, Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Number seven, Beazle.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, First Period.
Like, oh.
Because I didn't, I think like I blocked it out, and then as
Yeah.
I had to say it out loud, I'm
That
like, this
one
is.
made me so uncomfortable. And I think it is just because Chloe Grace Moretz, while I was watching, like before it got to the period bit, I was like, I wonder how old she was in 2013. I Googled it and I was like, oh, she was 16. Then it was just downhill.
Yikes.
Yeah.
The next I had Truth or Dare. The next I had Testicle Neck.
Yeah.
And then Emma Stone, I Babe, Poop on Me.
Yeah. I can see it. I can see your ranking, but I am happy with what we've ended up with.
So Dean, we're at a crossroads.
Yeah. What do
We
we
can
usually do here? I don't think we've said at any point today.
we can't like we can spend another hour recasting this movie.
Yeah. So this podcast is we take a film, we talk about the bad, we talk about the good, and then we fix it. We've talked about the bad. We'll talk about the good now. Now we'll try and
Yeah,
fix it. Okay. What are you gonna
it
say?
sounds. Yeah, no, I wasn't gonna say anything good.
So
This might be the worst movie you've talked about because there's legitimately is no good.
no. We mentioned like the couple of good jokes,
Yeah.
that sort of thing, and like a solid cast, but that's not like a good thing if you're not using them. Can I give you my start of a pitch?
Sure.
I think like a series of sketches will feel a lot more like one film if you have a fairly consistent cast throughout.
Okay.
You have mostly the same guys.
So what I think would be interesting. Let's say we adopt it. Let's say we use the sketch idea instead of the internet Russian Soviet.
I mean, I'm more than happy to never think about that again.
Would it be interesting, and instead of it being a holdup, it's these two writers and a it's like the writer and a producer trying to get a movie made. And the writer pitches the first idea and he gets just on keeps on changing it. And like
Yeah.
making up these new stories on the fly with the same cast.
Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, that works. I like that.
Okay. So now that we have that, let's okay, we're
So
doing it, Dean.
I like the idea of having like sketches direct with different directors. Like I think sure, different writers, different directors, that works, but we should lay down some ground rules.
I think we cast five actors
Okay, yeah. Should
that
we
rotate.
limit ourselves to just actors that are in this?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, okay. Let's do this
So
thing.
I my first pick. Oh, you go. Who do you want?
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Yeah. I'm gonna this might be a bit out of left field.
Okay.
Gonna go Patrick Warburton.
Which one's that?
He's the dad. He's Kronk.
Okay.
Like
Okay. Cool.
he's a solid comedic actor.
Yeah.
And he elevates part of his absolutely awful sketch.
Do we keep Chris Pratt?
That I think
Wait,
he's
how about it? Chris Pratt or Steven Merchant?
Oh, I'm gonna ha I You can't, I mean, I might change Patrick Warburton to Chris Pratt now I've thought about that. But between the two, I'd go Stephen Merchant because I have to. I have to,
Yeah, you do.
stick up for my own.
Okay.
But
Should we
I
do
think Chris,
six?
yeah,
Three
sure.
dudes and three women?
Three dudes, three women. Our three dudes, Stephen Merchant, Chris Pratt, and
Patrick Warburton.
well, who else have we said?
Well, I said Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah, Patrick Warburton. I think like maybe Johnny Knoxville, but also I'd kind of want to move away from the more crude humor.
Yeah, but we're not like, are we changing the sketches?
I hope so.
Well, yeah, we have to change it, but are we giving specific examples of different sketches or?
Oh no. But like I mean overall move away from crude humor. So
Yeah.
I think if overall we're moving away from crude humor, I don't think Johnny Knoxville's like a
Which,
good
although in the movie's defense, it is supposed to be a crude movie.
Yeah,
But like not to the extent it is.
I don't know. I don't think crude is the correct word for this, but I don't know what the correct word is.
Yeah. Okay. Now going on to the women.
Yeah. If it was modern day, I'd 100% go Chloe Grace Moretz.
Mm-hmm. But I don't... Can we do that?
Should we say,
We do need a... Like, I don't know.
Like Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell, yeah, I like that.
She's good. And then, like, I'm looking...
There's Kate Winslet, Halle Berry.
There are good guards, like... God, there's more good men, like Jason Sudeikis. But he's not good in this. I'd say... Maybe, like, Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, naturally... Not that Kate Winslet or Halle Berry aren't comedically talented, but people...
I mean, I'm not the biggest Halle Berry fan, you know?
I mean, she's won an Oscar, to be fair.
She has. But this isn't the first one of her films we're talking about in The Silver Lining, and it's also not her second. This is her third. I don't know if any actor...
Is Catwoman what else?
X-Men
3. Last Stand? Yeah.
Yeah. What happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? The same as everything else. That's an X-Men 1, but it's still a funny line. Continue.
So we have Emma Stone, Kristen Bell, and the last one, I would argue Elizabeth Banks.
I agree. Elizabeth Banks.
Okay. So that is our rotating cast.
Mm-hmm. And like, you can chuck guest stars in.
Yes. It's just like, what are other, like, just like Tim Robin, like, I think you should leave. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Or just like, what's Your Mom's House? That's what it's called. Oh no, what's it called?
Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Because they have rotating stars like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think you should leave Auntie Donna. If you haven't seen Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun,
it's good.
Check it out. I kind of want to go watch it on Netflix now just to cleanse myself. I feel like I need to cleanse after this film.
All right. I wouldn't go as far as say that we fixed this movie.
Yeah. So I think just a couple ground rule on what kind of thing these sketches should be. Like,
okay,
what do you think the limit with like crudeness and nudity and like grossness is? Nothing
right out the gate. No crude sketches can involve children.
Yeah. Ah, easy. Yeah. Yeah. None of them racist.
None of them racist. I would accept none of them sexist. Well, let's just everything bad we take out and we involve good things.
Yeah, I think like I feel like there is a level, but of like poo and wee and vomit that you can show. And I think
every time
this film shows poo, wee, and vomit, does it show vomit?
Anyway, I don't know.
Every time this shows bodily excrement, it shows far too much of it.
I think they get two sketches with it.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. Only full body nudity if it really works. As in, like
all right, Dean.
I don't want to say, you know, no nudity. Because, like, I'm sure some sketches would be made funnier with it. But...
Maybe.
Not any sketch here is made funnier with it.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, just... I feel the issue this film has is it relies too much on poo and boobs and piss than jokes, you know? They're like, oh, we don't need to write any jokes in this sketch because a cat pees on Elizabeth Banks. Okay,
yep.
Two more guidelines for sketches.
Okay.
Make them more self-aware.
Yeah.
Because if this film was like 100% more self-aware, I think it would be twice as good. You know?
Yeah.
And like make some of them more meta. you know, like make fun of themselves a bit, which I guess is the same thing.
Yes. Have you been writing these down?
No, but I know it all.
Oh wow, I forgot. Yeah, you're British. You're smart. Like that.
Harlem.
Dean.
Is this the worst film we've talked about in The Silver Lining? What did we rank worst? Was it Holmes and Watson? When we did the ranking.
Well, there was like some video evidence to figure this out.
I mean, that wasn't the first time we did this.
Well, we don't talk about that. Dark times.
I think it was Holmes and Watson. I've got a photo on my phone, but also I can't use my phone because we had a photo of the board. Anyway, I'd feel like Holmes and Watson is the worst that we talked about, and I think this beats that. Would you agree?
Yes, this definitely beats Holmes and Watson.
Holmes and Watson had a plot.
I'm trying to see what's in the bottom of our list.
I'm looking.
Oh, at the bottom of our list is the holiday special.
Oh, is this worse than seven photos of you and this whiteboard with our film rankings on. Oh, yeah. Oh, Holmes and Watson is four from the bottom. Is this worse than the holiday special? Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
Is it worse than Catwoman?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All those films had like a vision, you know?
Mm-hmm. This did not have a vision.
Who thought that, you know, Madame
Web was not the once.
Worst film I watched in this month?
That's saying a lot. And like right at the end, too.
Yeah, it's the worst film we've talked about on this podcast.
Yep.
Is there anything more to say?
I hope not.
I hope not.
You know, actually, wait, hold on.
Oh, we need to write one more sketch. We should at least have one sketch. Go on, what's your idea?
All right, so hear me out. Let me pull this out.
Yeah.
This
one should have a guest actor, I think.
So, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
He's played many iconic characters.
Yeah.
And through that, he has mastered many voices.
Yeah.
So, instead of the Poop on Me sketch taking place in America, instead of him eating burritos.
Oh, don't talk about it. It was just the fake stomach noises gone.
It actually takes place in Italy.
Okay. Do you want to know what that would sound like?
Yeah, what would he sound like?
It's a me, I'm a Mario.
And then what would he say afterwards,
and
when
then
talking, thinking about chocolate?
Instead of Baby Smooth, we have Jared Leto.
Yes.
I would only accept this if the sketch ends with all the actors coming on stage and just beating the crap out of him. Mamma mia, it's a me. Please, you hear us laxatives. You can go poo on your poo on your girlfriend. I think there is, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Okay, thanks for listening, guys.
Adios.
What will we be talking about next week?
I don't know.
I have zero idea. But I would put every single thing I own on the fact that it will be better than what we've talked about today.
Hopefully.
If it's not, it's going to be the last episode of the podcast. I don't know what else.
Yep, confirmed.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, Josiah.
Bye, Josiah.